You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts for today, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here for your Miracolays with the Muchachos. Miracolays is Wednesday, and Muchachos means the guys, the fellas, the boys, Hunter and Eric. We're taking calls at 952-946-6205, and there's a couple things I want your input on, but we'll get to that in a minute. Here at the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, we do not cross the picket line since 2019, and there is an Uber strike going on today. Jeremy Corbyn, the future Prime Minister of the UK, tweeted out, "Uber cannot be allowed to get away with huge payouts for their CEOs while refusing to pay drivers a decent wage and respect their rights at work. Stand with these workers on strike today across the UK and the world, asking you to not use Uber between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. Uber shut down." And this Uber strike's going on all around the world, mostly in the United States and the UK, and different states have different strike times, and I'm not certain, actually, what the Minneapolis strike, when it takes place, if it's all 24 hours of today. So if you have more information, I would like a call on that, on 952-946-6205. If you know the specifics of the strike, if you'd like to advocate for it, I'd love your call. But we talked about it last week, and we got some pushback from a certain Uber driver who was very passionate to not participate in the strike. And then immediately afterwards, we got more Uber drivers who were taking place, but found that peculiar. So let's start with this. Now, I want to just ask all of you, all the listeners right now, if you support a presidential candidate as your number one pick that is not one of these candidates, I want you to call in. Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Andrew Yang, or Tulsi Gabbard. Now, I don't want to hear from anyone supporting those candidates, but if you support any other of these 23 candidates, not them, give us a call at 952-946-6205.
And why do you mention those candidates specifically?
So those nine candidates are the ones that have qualified for the Democratic debates, both on individual donations and the polling requirements. So I am curious, because I have a feeling there aren't many people that support a candidate other than those nine. So what I am saying that they should do is have an adult table at this debate and a kids table, where those nine participate in one debate, and then the lower tier candidates participate in another debate.
Similar to what they did in the Republican primary last year?
Yeah, isn't that how they did it?
Yeah,
kind
of the front runners.
Because how they're doing it, though, is they're arranging it to have 20 candidates and kind of mix and match who's on the stage with who. But I really believe that these nine candidates are the primary candidates, and that why I think there should be a distinction is because we're seeing so many people enter the race because there's no downside to become a presidential candidate anymore. You just gain publicity, exposure, like you can use it as a way to climb your career ladder. And I think it distracts from the actual potential candidates and us hearing what they might represent.
Are there any big candidates, known names who are not on that list of candidates
already
approved?
The biggest, I would say, would be Cory Booker.
Wow. Yeah, he's a big one.
Julian Castro and Christian Gillibrand.
Oh, Chris. Okay.
Because two of those are senators. And Castro, he was a San Antonio mayor and kind of a rising star in the Democratic Party. So if you support a candidate other than Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Andrew Yang, or Tulsi Gabbard, give us a call, 952-946-6205. And I'm doing this as an unscientific poll that
I'm expecting these phone lines to remain dead.
Most people support one of those nine. An overwhelming, we're talking like 95% of potential Democratic voters.
Yeah, I mean, the metric by which it's measured is kind of emblematic of their popularity, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to get a certain number of donations or signatures.
Yeah. So I guess the argument could be made that including these lower tier candidates in the debate allows them to give a voice and maybe gain some momentum. Maybe we're not paying attention to someone we should, and that's valid. But I just fear that it's become – that this is only going to progress like presidential election after election where you just have 30, 40, 50 candidates. Because right now we're at 23, maybe 24 actually. So it's getting confusing. The latest announcement is New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. And it's interesting to me because I actually voted for Bill de Blasio as the mayor of New York City because I lived out there during his first campaign as mayor. And he was an exciting progressive choice at the time. And his first couple years as mayor, like he did a lot of good things, took some good stands, but then just he got reelected in 2017, and he's kind of just become that new school Tammany Hall, New York City Democratic machine. Where it's a sad thing that happens in New York. It's overwhelmingly run by the Democratic Party, but then it's that old school machine, like how Tammany Hall controlled it back in the 1920s, and it's just a mafia run political organization out there, basically.
Well, especially in New York, mm-hmm. even conservatives run as Democrats,
yeah.
when they want to win.
Mm-hmm. And there's just so much lobby influence, corporate influence, Wall Street influence, because it's New York City. They're all out there, and they want to control the party that wins. So I'd say that Bill de Blasio had a good track record his first couple of years as mayor, and then over the past 5-6 years, a lot more disappointing. So I'm not excited for Bill de Blasio entering the race. And it's insane how many candidates we have. So far, no callers. So, as I predicted, most people support Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Andrew Yang, or Tulsi Gabbard in this Democratic primary. If you support a candidate other than those nine, give us a call at 952-946-6205. I wasn't sure exactly how this was going to go. I was kind of curious if I'd be surprised and have some people call passionately for someone that I was leaving out. But it seems like the majority support those nine.
Yeah. I mean, so they're going to have nine candidates on the debate stage as is?
They're going to have 2 days of 10 candidates each, and they're going to mix them up based on the qualifications. Everyone who makes that polling qualification, that's the easier one.
Okay, they have to make one of the two.
Yeah.
The ones you listed made both.
But yeah, if you make both, you're guaranteed. And the positioning is going to be weird. I don't know how they're going to separate it, if it's going to be completely random, how they decide who's on which day. Those nine are for sure it. And then there's a couple stragglers. There's eight. I can only name three from their face pictures.
Yeah, I saw that infographic.
I know that one of them is the mayor or the governor of Washington, and that one of them is a congressperson. One of them is the mayor or the governor. I keep screwing that up. Governor of Colorado, but I don't know their names. But let's take a break again. Give us a call if you support one of those candidates I didn't mention. Phone number 952-946-6205. But when we come back, we'll talk about some Minnesota topics on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Looking to experience the Northwoods and Boundary Waters? Big Bear Lodge is the perfect choice. May and June are a perfect time to spot some moose as well as have great fishing. Mention AM 950 during May and you'll receive 10% off when you book the Dakota Cabin. A cozy cabin perfect for couples or a single person looking to unplug and unwind. Find out more about this great getaway and see their authentic modern woodsy cabins at BigBearLodgeMN.com. That's BigBearLodgeMN.com.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need but won't get from the corporate media. Join me for the Bradcast, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
At Mother Earth Gardens, we've been selling heirloom and open-pollinated plants for your backyard homestead since 1994. We research our products and we hand-pick every pot, trellis, and gift. So if you love 50-plus varieties of tomatoes, native planting for pollinators, and a shocking variety of annuals and perennials, make the journey to one of our two locations, South Minneapolis across from the Riverview Theater and Northeast at Stinson and Lowry. Small footprint, surprising selection. MotherEarthGarden.com.
This is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and you're listening to Doug, Brent Hunter, and Eric on Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson, here with your miércoles with the muchachos on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And in the next segment, we'll be speaking with Corey Magstedt of Launch Ministries to talk about homelessness and young adults experiencing homelessness and the difficulties that face them specifically in changing their material conditions and getting to new stages in life, as well as a proposed homeless housing building that is actually proposed on my block. And there's a meeting with the Planning Commission of Chaska tonight. So we're going to talk about the issue of homelessness as well as this proposed building that I am fully in favor of. Back to the presidential candidates. One of them, a big one, is actually in town today. Beto O'Rourke did a little speech in Lakeville, actually, earlier this afternoon, as well as having a Minneapolis town hall at 5:30 p.m. at Edison High School in Northeast Minneapolis. So if you want to see Beto O'Rourke, he's in town today at 5:30 to 7:40 at Edison High School in Northeast Minneapolis. But Beto kind of disappointed me, actually, because I tried to get him on the show. And his team said they're not doing interviews, just all-out not doing interviews for anyone. And I was really disappointed in that answer, because usually when these candidates come to town, they usually will come on to promote the events that they have. So I kind of thought it was a lock we'd have Beto today, but no, didn't happen.
Yeah, especially a guy like Beto, who's not necessarily playing for defense at this point.
Yeah, I feel like it would have helped to have him on here, reach out to our audience, get some more people at his event, but no, they're not doing interviews. They did give me and you press passes to go down there, and they said we could ask him questions, but I decided I'm attending this homeless housing instead of asking Beto a question tonight.
Yeah, have you seen what it looks like outside?
Yeah.
No thanks, Beto.
So we have 12 days left in the Minnesota legislature session. And you guys know I've been following this opioid stewardship bill pretty closely. And about 6 weeks ago or something, we got it passed in the Senate, which means that passed both the House and the Senate. And just need to go to a conference committee and then be revoted on and would be signed into law by Governor Tim Walz, who said he would sign the bill. However, I'm starting to feel like this bill is not going to get signed this year. It's just an absolute mess down there. And I've really lost faith a bit in having split party legislatures, because Minnesota is the only state legislator in the country that isn't a single party control of the state government. And it seems like we've come to a point where the Democrats and the Republicans only side to just block anything that the other party does. Rather than reach compromises, it's all out block, get nowhere, just no compromises, and stall absolutely everything that they can. So it's frustrating because we had a conference committee hearing on Monday, and it was kind of unorthodox. What happened is that I was told that it's very strange for people to have testimony during a conference committee hearing, and that's all that it was for, like, 6 to 9 hours on Monday, just testimony, which is common in normal committee hearings, but unheard of in a conference committee hearing when the bills are written and it's time to get down and make the compromises to have a single bill to be signed by the governor. So they didn't even try to tackle the differences. And I was told that it's most likely they're just trying to stall this out since there's only 2 weeks left. So I'm very disappointed because it's looking like this bill's just not going to get signed, as well as everything else. I mean, the omnibus prime bills, everything is stalling. And I feel like it's because we have that split legislator here. And it's just kind of sad that in a two-party system, we're at a point where the parties no longer want to even make compromises with each other. It's just a governance that gets nowhere.
Yeah, they're not concerned with the people that they govern over so much as that the other side doesn't win any points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this like, used to be different.
Yeah.
Like we used to be at a point where there was a lot more relationships between the two parties and respect for one another, and compromises would get done. And I mean, I witnessed it growing up. My mom worked in the Senate, so I kind of paid a lot more attention than most kids. But I would see how these long-standing legislators, both parties, had respect, mutual respect for one another. And when it came down to it, they would make compromises based on that, because they knew the other person had good intentions. But we've gotten to a point where politics is just a game to give the other side nothing and then run on that in 2 years. Because compromise doesn't win elections. It's playing to your base that does, and showing that you will make no concessions and that you get nothing done. And that plays really well into the Republican base, is that if you just stall government, then that's good because they're not doing anything then. Let's go to Gene in St. Paul, who wants to talk about the topic at hand. Gene, it's good to have you on.
Hi. You know, I really don't think it's a bipartisan blame situation here. It's Republicans who don't want to do anything. If you read the reports of, the meetings that broke up yesterday, the TFL did compromise on their tax bill and spending and all that. It's Republicans that don't want to do anything. And their ideological, opposition to any new taxes or any new spending just puts them in a straitjacket that they can't get out of. And so it's not like back when we had Arne Carlson.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Reasonable Republicans who would, you know, they would fight like cats and dogs with the Democrats, but then they would all come together and make a deal, and Arne Carlson would agree to raise taxes and that sort of thing. But no, the Republicans, they just have one message, and it's, you know, we won't raise taxes of any kind. So that's what's happening right now.
Thank you for the call, Gene. And yes, I do agree with you. And that was the point I was getting at, is that the Republicans can really run on just blocking any sort of legislation, because that plays well into their base, just having the government not function. They like that. The Tea Party Republicans like when nothing gets done. Let's go to Randy in St. Cloud. We got to kind of run through these calls fast because we're going to be speaking with Corey from Launch Ministry. But Randy, it's good to have you on.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to say, every time I hear a Democrat who's running for anything, dog catcher, whatever, say, "I'm here to work across the aisle," I just about am ready to have a heart attack, because why would you? There's no reason. There's no working across the aisle. It's total BS to do that. We got to take it to them. We got to take it over. That's the only way anything's going to get done, because the Republicans don't think government should happen. They think government, remember Reagan, government is the problem, you know? So that's their point. And so why do we even talk about, oh, I'm going to work across the aisle and get bipartisan support for my idea? No, you're not. No, you're not. So anyway, that's my point.
Thank you for the call, Randy. But what's really frustrating is that here in Minnesota, I mean, we have a House majority for the DFL. We have a governor, a DFL governor. And we have a Senate that is only 3 seats in the Republican majority. And the fact that a margin that small cannot reach any sort of compromise is just frustrating, that you can't even have split body legislators anymore. The rest of the country has all adapted this way where every single chamber is run by a single party. Where in Minnesota, we have the only legislator that is split. And the fact that at such a small margin, the Republicans only controlled by 3 seats, it used to only be 1 seat before that special election, that you can't reach any sort of compromise is absolutely absurd. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Corey from Launch Ministry about homelessness and a new proposed homeless housing in Chaska, on my block, actually. So we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rev, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Shamblot from Shamblot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Shamblot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
You know me as the carpet connoisseur of AM 950. At home, I have a whole zoo. 7 parakeets, 3 guinea pigs, and a chihuahua. Understand now why I'm such a big fan of Zero Res? They get rid of every splotch, every stain, every accident for my little critters. Before Zero Res, I used to move furniture to cover up my spots. Now my carpet is spectacular. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
The entire buying experience with Rudy Luther Toyota is so worthwhile. Every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years of free maintenance with every new Toyota purchased. Their super staff is wonderful, always ready to help. And there's the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Head on over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are listening to my buddies Hunter, Doug, and Brett on Minnesota Progressive Repartee, broadcasting on AM 950 in the heart of Eden Prairie, which is neither Eden nor Prairie.
AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here with you today. And man, Paul Metza always has the coolest bumpers. I wish I sounded that cool. But we are being joined by Corey Magstedt of Launch Ministries. And I just want to say that Launch Ministries is one of the most fantastic organizations that I've been able to observe here in the Twin Cities. So, Corey, it's an honor to have you on to speak about young people with homelessness, as well as a proposed homeless housing building on my block in Chaska, actually. So, Corey, why don't you explain first what Launch Ministries is, because it is absolutely fantastic.
Thanks, Hunter. Appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited to be neighbors with you. So Launch Ministry, we've been around for about 10 years, and we really began as a young adult mentoring organization. We focus on young people ages 18 to 29, and our focus is helping youth transition to adulthood. We do that in a variety of ways. We have, again, a mentoring program. We have a homeless youth drop-in center. We have a housing program for young adults experiencing housing insecurity. Kind of beyond that, I think, sort of value-wise, we're a distinctly multicultural organization, and so we focus on the fact that our young people are often youth of color. We have staff of color, and we really try to focus on being a space where all people in our community are safe and can find stability and can find hope for kind of moving forward into the future.
Fantastic. And you did a presentation at my Indivisible group a few months back now. But I remember that was really powerful, the way that you explained the roadblocks in the way of young people who are currently homeless and trying to get back up on their feet. And I know we don't have as much time to do the presentation that we had there, but could you kind of run down some of those roadblocks and that common occurrences that you see with people who are currently homeless, who are trying to get to a new place?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that is just really clear when you're in this world is just how many of the roadblocks are systemic, kind of system-related things that youth just keep running into over and over and over again. And so, you know, often when we talk about homelessness, we'll ask the question, well, what's the youth supposed to do? And the answer is, we'll get a job. Well, most of our youth are working. And so it's not about working or not working. But we like to do, and I think what I did that night, there's this kind of scenario that I like to run through. And it's, so imagine you're 18, 19 years old, and your parents have said you can't live there anymore. You got to go find someplace else. Maybe you had a family conflict or whatever happened. Something happened within the relationship, and you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So continue that scenario with you don't have a driver's license. You don't have an ID. They're maybe withholding your documents from you, your birth certificate, social security card, those kinds of things. And so you are on your own. You have some clothes and kind of some personal belongings, but you don't have any of those other things. And so I just open up to groups of people, well, what do you do? What's the path forward? And so when you kind of walk through what the path forward is and how long it takes, it's really mind-blowing. So the path forward, instead of asking your audience to call in and guess, we'll just kind of lay it out for you. The path forward is, so you have to start with your birth certificate. Birth certificate is, you can get with just somebody going with you and vouching that they've known you for 2 years, and then you have to have $24 to pay for that, but then you can actually get it printed out that day. Mm-hmm. So some of the systemic barriers are you have to be able to get to the courthouse, you have to have $24, and you have to have a friend, which, you know, some people maybe don't have somebody who would want to legally vouch on a document that they know you. So once you surpass those barriers, you have your birth certificate, the next piece that you can do is get your state ID. So again, a similar set of barriers. You have to have a transportation to get to a driver's license, DMV. You have to have your I skipped a step. First, you have to do your Social Security card. You use your birth mm-hmm. certificate to either go through the mail or go to the Social Security office. You can get that for free, but it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks for it to be mailed to you.
Six to eight weeks. So we're starting to build time that cannot make any steps forward for 6 to 8 weeks while you wait for that.
Right. So exactly. So if you're not employed, in order to apply for a job, you have to have ID and Social Security card, right? So, so you got to wait 6 to 8 weeks, and huge barrier, you have to have an address because that has to be mailed to you. And so where are you going to get that sent? Then once you kind of surpass those, then you do the state ID. And so you take your birth certificate and your Social Security card to the driver's license station. Again, you have to have transportation. You have to have $10 or $12, whatever it is now. You have to have, to fill out the form. Again, you have to have an address because you've got to have somewhere for them to send it and something to put on the state ID, for where you live. And then, our current DMV situation with all the stuff that's going on there, it's sometimes taking 3, 4, 5 months for those to get sent out. Let's say in the best case scenario, it takes 3 months. So now you're, 5 months out. And so now you can start applying for jobs. So you start applying for jobs, do you have a phone? But if you don't have a phone,
how are they going to get in contact with you?
How are they going to get a hold of you that they want to call you in for an interview? Do you have interview clothes? Do you have any skills at all? Let's say you overcome all of that. You've managed to get some kind of entry level job making, $12 an hour. Now you start looking for apartments. So you're making $12 an hour. You start looking around and you realize that the entry-level apartments, if you can find a one-bedroom apartment, we're in Chaska, so let's say Carver County, in order to afford a one-bedroom apartment, if you can even find one, you have to be making almost $16 an hour. Because landlords, the occupancy rate in Carver County is 98%, and the little 2% is really just our apartments turning over when one person moves out and somebody moves in. So there's almost no one-bedroom apartments. There are no studio apartments. So you have to be able to essentially make three times the rent to find a place. You've got to be making $2,400 a month in order to even be looked at. Otherwise, there's plenty of people who are families or professionals that, because housing is so expensive, they're either foreclosing on their houses, and so they're looking for a place. There's plenty of people that are more highly sought applicants than the 18-year-old who's been homeless and doesn't have an address and is looking for their first place.
Oh, geez.
So that's the short version of what it's going to take to move from homelessness to housed. And there, the lack of affordable housing, lack of apartments, lack of like supports along the way are just overwhelming for young people. And that's, again, also, remember, you're 18 or 19 years old. So having to navigate all those complicated systems on your own and all of those, like, even the fast pace of being able to get it done in 6-7 months is assuming that you know how to do all of those things. Who knows how to do all of those things?
And right? You were being generous with that 3 to 4 months for your ID, because I just got it renewed and it took 6 months.
Yep, there were.
I had
two instances where it took over 6 months in 2017 and last year. It was during your presentation, actually. I pulled out my papers and I showed someone in there and I go, look it. And it was like, I think it was 8 months at that time. And they were like, oh, wow.
Because, exactly.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
yeah.
And
so
much.
Really, you're talking maybe a year, year and a half, just to get through all of the hurdles.
And so much can happen during that time when you're homeless, just trying to get by, trying to do the next right thing. But it's just there's so many hurdles. I mean, you can get in legal trouble for just being homeless.
Yep. Yeah, we have plenty of our youth that are trespassed from all over because of places that they're trying to sleep. We have, you know, plenty of youth that get theft charges because they're trying to find food or a little bit of money, and so they end up stealing. They have, like, I mean, there are plenty of, most often are young women, but sometimes young men who, you do what you can to find a place to stay. And so, survival sex, using your body as a means of finding, something that's safe or more secure than other. I mean, there are all sorts of things that young people end up falling into because some kind of safety and security is of highest value.
So let's talk about this proposed homeless housing building for young adults that provides 16 units. And there is going to be a hearing tonight. The Planning Commission of the City of Chaska will meet tonight at 7 p.m. at the Chaska City Hall. Now, this proposal is very similar to one that came up 2 years ago, correct?
It's actually very different.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's some similarities in that there's homelessness involved, but it's actually a very different project. A couple big differences, size and scope. The last project was like 34 units. This one is only 16, so it's a little bit smaller. The other one had a lot more other agency involvement, where there were lots of players, lots of people involved, and it was kind of muddled and confusing. And I think the other big piece was the last one was really geared as very much transitional. So people were going to be in and then kind of moved out as soon as they found more permanent rentals elsewhere in the community, where this one is really geared to be permanent housing, affordable housing, where youth can stay as long as they want or need to. We certainly will encourage them to grow their income, grow their employment capacity, grow their education as part of our programming, but that there's no like end dates where we are like really trying to move people in and out and cycle them through. It's really geared to be permanent housing.
Now, the biggest opposition, I'm sure, that will be heard with this building is people worried that it's going to lower their property values. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, there have been study after study across the country where where programs like this come in, and over and over it's shown that property value is not affected by these kinds of programs. The thing that does affect property values when programs like this or apartments come in is if the but it could be high-end apartments or lower-income apartments. It doesn't really matter the income level, but the research has shown that if they're poorly managed, if the management company is not professional and is not like doing their job, that's when property values can go down, because then that's when you have increased police calls and increased whatever, all of the things that go along with that. But when a property is managed well, it has zero impact on property values.
And, I mean, if you have people just homeless out on the street, That's going to lower your property values much more than people being housed, getting back into society.
Correct. And I mean, safety is the other one we hear about, which really speaks to that, that what is more safe and secure, having somebody sleeping in their car in your neighborhood or in a tent in your neighborhood, or is it more secure, more safe to have them stably housed in an apartment with appropriate case management and, really kind of moving forward in life. And clearly that's going to be safer for everyone and better for everyone. That was one of the big critiques and fears of the last program, was that, well, you're just going to bring people from Minneapolis and we don't know who these people are. And you know, there's all sorts of things that people toss around. And so, you know, for us, this is a local project. We're really focusing on Carver County young people mm-hmm. who live here, went to school here, are part of this community. And we feel that it's a moral obligation of the community to care for the youth in its community.
Absolutely.
So if the youth in the community are struggling and can't afford to live here and are, the most affluent county in the state, should not have young people sleeping in cars and tents. Mm-hmm. We should have means and ways to help them to be stably housed and secure. And we just feel that that's the community's moral obligation to do that, particularly when we're not asking the community to pay for it. when we're coming with a proposal that no local property taxes are going to go up or anything like that.
Fantastic. And what are you expecting to happen tonight? I mean, you've gone through this before in the past. So what do you think's going to happen tonight compared to in the past? And because I feel like we're more organized on this front this time around.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit more ahead of the game. We had a really great community meeting last night where we just – I think one of the things that we'll see different than last time is last time there was a lot of misinformation that got out there, and so people were – just had very different ideas of what the project was. So we had a very great conversation last night where we're just very transparent and clear about this is what it is, this is what it isn't. And so I'm hopeful that – the conversation will be, at the very least, those that disagree with it will disagree with full knowledge of what the program is and not based on kind of rumors and hearsay and that kind of stuff. As far as tonight, it's always hard to predict any kind of, you know, city or whatever vote on these kinds of things. But I'm hopeful that one of the other changes since last time is that the city's comp plan has changed. Last time we were under the 2030 comp plan, which had the property zoned zoned differently, and so it would have had to be rezoned for the project. This time around in the 2040 comp plan, it is now appropriately zoned for this project. And so in theory, what the Planning Commission is really doing is just saying yes or no, this fits with the proper zoning and that this matches the comp plan. And so it should be passed on to City Council with an approval from the Planning Commission. But again, you never know. There may be that gets a little bit beyond my pay grade as far as how I understand sure. planning processes, but that's how I understand it. Anything can happen though. So we'll see tonight, I guess.
All right, Corey, thanks for joining us. And if you are in the Southwest Metro and can make it out tonight at 7 p.m. at Chaska City Hall, there's a meeting of the Planning Commission of the City of Chaska to talk about this proposed homeless housing building for young adults. But, Corey, pleasure chatting with you, and I should see you tonight.
Sounds good. We'll see you then.
All right. We'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the verdict in the Mohamed Noor trial. Things moving fast at the state capitol as the clock winds down on a May 20th session deadline, and a local filmmaker is asking for the public's help to finish his documentary on the Jacob Wetterling abduction. That and more. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
At Mother Earth Gardens, we've been selling heirloom and open pollinated plants for your backyard homestead since 1994. We research our products and we handpick every pot, trellis, and gift. So if you love 50 plus varieties of tomatoes, native planting for pollinators, and a shocking variety of annuals and perennials, make the journey to one of our two locations, South Minneapolis across from the Riverview Theater and Northeast at Stinson and Lowry. Small footprint, surprising selection. MotherEarthGarden.com.
The entire buying experience with Rudy Luther Toyota is so worthwhile. Every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years of free maintenance with every new Toyota purchased. Their super staff is wonderful, always ready to help. And there's the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Head on over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a
taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette. 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Raymond Dean, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here. And
hey.
Raymond Dean, he's one of the best ones working down there in St. Paul. He's just got a fantastic record, always working for criminal justice reform and just second chances for people. Because he had quite the second chance himself. He actually had a felony drug charge when he was young and was pardoned by the governor. And then because of that pardon, he was able to become a state representative. But he's a great guy, always proposing the best legislation. He definitely gets my seal of approval. But we're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. So far, no one has called to say that they support a candidate other than Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Andrew Yang, or Tulsi Gabbard. Not a single person is saying that they support a candidate other than one of those nine as their top choice. So my point was that those nine should be at the adults' table for the Democratic Party debates, and that there should be a child's table of the lesser candidates. But let's go to the phones. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. We want to talk about homelessness. Gary, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Well, yeah, the previous caller talked about the Republicans not believing in government. Well, it's been an outright war on government, which I said before is war on the working class and the vast majority of the 99% of American people. And you can see it, the student loan debt. The rich used to pay a lot of taxes. They used to give us pensions. They used to have good public education, good public health care. Well, you know, at least Medicare, they're privatizing that. They like to privatize these equity funds. Lead the way to privatize, even have public prisons have privatizing some of the, a lot of the services there to privatize the military. This is all going on statewide and nationwide around the country. So it's war on us. That's what that is. They work for the Koch brothers. They're not Republicans. They're Libertarian Koch brother network. And the homeless, you know, Reagan started all this, you know. He defunded deinstitutionalization. He defunded that, and they scapegoated and pointed at the homeless and blamed them for it.
All right, Gary, thank you for the call. I'm right there with you, bud. So before we go, this is a great story. Philando Castile's mother wipes out school lunch debt, continuing her son's legacy. 3 years after the shooting death of Philando Castile, his legacy of helping others continues. His mother, Valerie Castile, has given $8,000 to Minnesota High School to settle school lunch debts. The donation given on behalf of the Philando Castile Relief Foundation alleviated the lunch debt at Robbinsdale Cooper High School in New Hope, Minnesota. And what's important to note, too, is that these kids who had lunch debts wouldn't be able to graduate if their debts weren't paid off. So because of Philando Castile's mother, $8,000 worth of those debts, and kids are going to be able to graduate because of it. So it's a great story. I don't even want to get started on how I feel about recent police shooting justices and how they have been in the court, because we don't have time, but I'm a little bit frustrated on how this has played out, because Philando Castile was the example to make with these shooting of innocent people that have been happening for so often. I'm just frustrated that that wasn't the time that a police officer finally was punished. That took the Muhammad Noor, for the first officer here in Minnesota, to be charged with murder. That Geronimo Yanez was able to get away. In that case specifically, it just really frustrates me.
What really frustrated me, too, was just seeing how blatant groups like the NRA were about not wanting to support Philando Castile, even though he did the exact thing that they tell you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. There was so much hypocrisy in this. And then what I saw, Blue Lives Matter people celebrating that Muhammad Noor was punished. I'm like, your group exists to protect police officers, and now you're cheering because one of them is black who got – it's just – the whole thing was a mess. We don't have time to get into it. I purposely ignored this the past few weeks, but wanted to just touch on it. But we will be back tomorrow on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.